2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be starting with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, then verse 14 starts with, and I really enjoy how this kind of flows in there. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. I'm going to stop there. We're going to take a moment to dive into what we just read in Scripture and kind of think about the implications of that and the application that has in our lives. So we're going to turn back to 2 Corinthians. I got the Bible app on my phone. It's not being entirely cooperative, so maybe technology is not quite as useful as some may seem. Just give me a second. And there we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Well, there's a couple of implications with just that first verse. The first implication of that is that there's a war being waged. Is there not? I mean, why else would it be said? And then the other implication is that we're not going to wage war the same way the world does. So is this a worldly war? Well, what does that mean? Well, I think the first truth I'm going to share about that is in this war that we're fighting against the schemes of the devil, people aren't your problem. Did you hear that? People aren't your problem. Because we're not waging war the way the world does. See, the world wages war between people and people. That's not the type of issue we're talking about here. People are not your problem. But sometimes we start thinking that way because we get deceived into thinking that person's our problem. Okay, well, let's take that a little bit further. Money is not your problem. You see, because we don't wage war the way the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What's the implication of this verse? That there are strongholds. What is a stronghold? And there's a war. I want to talk about that war being waged in a second, because there's one important foundation I got to lay before we continue on that. This war that we're fighting, we're not fighting for victory. Did you hear me? We're not fighting for victory in this war that we're fighting. We're fighting from victory. We're fighting from the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. This battle has already been won. We're fighting from victory, not for victory, and that's important. Who are we warring against? The war's already been won. Who are we warring against? We're warring against our sin nature, and we're warring against Satan's schemes. But if the battle has already been won, what are we fighting? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Salvation can't be separated from us. So what are we fighting against? Satan's going to try to do a couple of things. He can't take away our salvation. He can try to make you less effective. Did you hear me? He can convince you that people are your problem. He can make you less effective. He can convince you that if you had just a little bit more money, you'd be that much more effective. He can get you searching in all the wrong areas, doing all the wrong things. What's the other thing he can do? He can get you so wrapped up in these strongholds, so wrapped up in this life where you see the fruits of these strongholds being built in your life. Arrogance, anger, hatred, lawlessness, unforgiveness, sexual morality, self-indulgence, loneliness, irritability, lack of patience. He gets you so caught up in this, you start thinking, is there really even a God? See, I'm telling you, the battle's already won, but we got to fight it with divine weapons. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Good news is the phone is cooperating. I'll be there shortly. So what is this divine weapon? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on your full armor of God that so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, the schemes where he tries to convince you that people are your problems, that you're fighting a worldly war. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. The devil's got schemes. He's got a couple of tactics up his sleeves. He's been doing this for a really long time, and he's an expert in our sin nature. One of the things that Satan loves to do, I'm telling you this, and you can look at the fruits of it, Satan wants you to be lonely. Satan wants to isolate you. Satan wants to use your sin nature, find where you're weak. And he wants to start building a stronghold there, brick by brick. And he's going to build that up so that there's a wall between you and the person that can help you. Put up a wall between you and make you think it's the other person's fault. He's going to use these things. He's going to use our sin nature, the areas that we're weak, the things that we struggle with. And he's going to try to build that wall up. Because if a wolf wants to get to a sheep, he's going to separate it from the flock. Did you hear me? If a wolf wants to get to a sheep, he's got to separate it from the flock. So what's going to happen? Satan's going to try to convince you, or your sin, he's going to isolate you, build up these walls between you and the fellowship of the Christians that you're supposed to have fellowship with. I'll tell you what, ways that you can probably experience this, and maybe you have experienced this. You get home after spending time with one of your Christian brethren, and all you can think about is all the critical things you were noticing about that person. You get home and you're thinking, man, that person's kind of disorganized. I don't even think they're all that smart. Right? You start thinking and you're like, man, where is this even from me? I don't know. I'll tell you what, Satan's got his schemes. He's going to isolate you against that person. Well, I don't want to hang out with this unorganized idiot. Right? He's going to try to separate you from the sheep. I'll tell you the other thing he does is what's more effective than separating a sheep from another sheep? Why don't you separate that sheep from a shepherd? And on earth, we have some earthly shepherds. We have our pastors. And I promise you, and if you've ever experienced this, listen up. You get home from a sermon and you start thinking about all the holes in it. You start thinking, see, when you're here to hear the sermon, your hearts have to be receptive to the truth that's going to be spoken. So the devil and his schemes, he's going to distract you from those truths. He's going to get you focusing on other things. You start thinking about, you know, pastor says he prays about me, but I don't think he does. You know what? I think pastor likes this family more than me. You know, I think when pastor gets home, he doesn't think anything about me. I'm not important. I think his sermons are all over the place and they're not organized. I think that he's not doing a very good job. I wonder if his sermons are from God. Next thing you know, you're feeling this wall being built up between. So you have this wall being built up between you and the fellowship that you should be having with other Christians. You feel this wall being built up between what you should be having with the pastor who's going to help lead you. These walls tangled us up. And I'll tell you what, the foundation of every one of these strongholds, when you think of stronghold, I want you to think of a fortress. I want you to think of walls that are being built up. Their foundation is always on lies. Always. And the fruits of them are never good. And this, and the trickery, whether it's our sin nature, whether it's Satan is going to trick us into thinking, this isn't the problem. I don't need to go to God for this issue. This is a worldly issue. If I had a better job, I wouldn't have these problems. If I had a better job, I could make more money. If I made more money, my relationship with my wife would be better. These are worldly issues. I want to look more into Ephesians. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. Sounds like a whole lot of standing. You see, right now, the Apostle Paul is kind of giving us a pep talk into going into battle, right? He's telling us to put on our armor. Well, you wear armor when you go into battle, correct? I was in the Marine Corps. We wore armor when we went into battle. We absolutely did. So we're putting on this battle. Apostle Paul has given us our pep talk. We're about to go fight this issue. We're ready for our marching orders. And what does Paul say to us? He says, stand. Well, that's not what I was expecting. Wait a second. No. Putting on the armor of God. I am ready to fight. I'm ready to kick these schemes out of here. Satan can go. I am ready to fight. Paul, what are you telling me here? He's telling you to stand. So that implies there's a place that you can stand. And that implies there's a place you're standing right now. And if you're caught up in one of these situations where the fruits of what you're experiencing in your life are hatred, anger, lawlessness, you're not as patient as you used to be, you can't understand why you feel so isolated, and why do you feel so alone? And you're looking at these fruits and you're thinking about all these issues. Where are you standing? Well, I'll tell you, there's two places you can stand. I'm going to explain the first one, then I'm going to give an illustration to help explain the second one. The word circumstance kind of implies that you're standing in a circle. Am I right? And in the circle, you're standing in the midst of all the issues that's going on. Whatever's going in your life, whatever the flows of your life, the ups and downs, whether you're in a good mood, bad mood, that's where you're standing. So when these schemes are set up against you, and man, I tell you, when Satan punches, he's going to punch you where it hurts. He's going to find those things you're insecure about. And that's where he's going to send people into your life to point out those things you're insecure about. And you're going to stand in this circumstance, and you're going to think, man, if I had more money. You know, I'm not quite organized enough. And I'm not talented. And I'm not that intelligent. I don't even deserve to be up here. I don't even deserve the grace of God that people keep trying to tell me about. Look at all this. Look at the fruits of what my life is. I've never felt more alone. I'll tell you one of these lies that Satan will build up a stronghold on. He'll go, oh, you were born a woman, were you? You sure you weren't supposed to be a man? Are you hearing me? Oh, you were born a man, were you? Are you sure about that? You have some feminine qualities. What are those telling you? You see, he's going to build a fortress on that. He's going to get you standing in your circumstance. Well, maybe I'm like that because of this reason, and this reason, and this reason, and this reason. I'm standing here, and that's all I can see. And what the evidence is telling me based on where I'm standing, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like this is probably the way I ought to go. I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some changes. I need to reconsider the way I'm doing things because my current circumstances, there's a lot of evidence. And when you're standing in this circumstance, I tell you one thing you're going to feel like. It's going to come to this place, and you're facing all these insecurities and these ideas. You're getting punched where it hurts. You're separated from your fellow sheep. You're separated from your earthly shepherd. You're standing here, and you're thinking, why is the whole world set against me? Why is the whole world set against me? I'll tell you why. And this is dense. It's very tricky. It's because it is. The whole world is set against you. Because you're trying to wage war on the world. That's not the war we're going to fight and have victory in. We already told you in the beginning, we have victory. Jesus already fought that battle for us. So I'm going to use this illustration to kind of explain the alternative, standing in the midst of your circumstance where all you can see is all these fruits of this. You can't even understand what's going on, and the evidence is telling you one thing. I want to tell you a story. I want you to kind of go on this with me, and just I want you to try to visualize what I'm talking about here. So imagine you got a father and a son on a prairie farm. It's dry and arid place, and there's crops out, and they're dry and arid, and as far as you can see, there's crops, and a fire starts. And these dried, arid crops in this prairie farm area is great fuel for this fire. And this fire is building up. It's building up on the, as far as you can see, on the east and west. And behind you, this fire is building up. It is all-consuming. It is a powerful fire. Wall of fire coming at you. The father and son that are in this prairie farm are running for their lives. Now, if you know anything about wildfires, these things build up and they build up speed. And as they grow bigger and stronger, they become more and more powerful. They're running. Where can they go? Where can they stand? Where's a safe place for them? They're running, and they notice up a ways a little bit. There's a circle. There's a place that's already been burnt. The father realizes, he goes, if I take my son here and I stand in the place that's already been burnt, I will have refuge. If I stand in this place that's already absorbed the wrath of this fire, I will have refuge. If I stand in this place, I will be safe. And even though I'm standing in here, I may still see the fire around me. I will not be consumed by this fire. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was offered on the cross, and that fire has already been burnt in that place, and that's a place you can stand and have refuge. Did you hear me? There's a place for the wrath of God. The fire has already burnt that ground. And whatever fire you see waging up around you, you have a safe place there. You have a sanctuary. So when the Apostle Paul tells you to fight this battle, you have to stand. He's telling you have to stand right here. And no matter what fire you see burning up around you, you can't go out there. You can't stand in that. And what does Satan want to do? What does your sin neighbor want to do? He wants you standing in your circumstance. Here you have refuge and safety. He wants you standing right here. And he's going to build up walls around you, separating you from your fellow sheep, separating you from your pastor, separating you from help, convincing you you're something you're not, and that's where you get consumed. Well, I got more news for you. I want you to turn to Matthew 16. I think there's some truths in the Bible that when they're revealed to you for the first time, you'll forever remember it. And I remember sitting outside with Pastor Doug. They have a little porch area, you know, sitting out there, and we were talking about this. This was going to come up in a sermon that he was going to talk about later. And it forever changed the way I viewed this verse. I just want to share that with you. Starting with verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Strongholds are walls. And they're wanting to gate you in. And I got news for you, no matter how terrifying those walls are, no matter how far those walls have been built up and how deep this sin pattern goes back in you, you can have victory over it. No matter how big this is, you can have victory over it, because we're not fighting this battle. Jesus is fighting this battle for us. Do you hear me? The gates of hell will not prevail. You think gates are supposed to keep something in or out? When Jesus says the gates of hell are not going to prevail, he's saying he's going to kick in those gates. Do you hear me? He's going to kick in those gates. He's going to pull you out of your circumstance. He's going to take you through the fire and put you in the place that's already been burnt, the price that he paid for you. Do you hear me? That's the truth. So I don't care how far you've been in it and how deep this goes. I promise you, you turn over to Jesus, you don't even have to understand how it works. I'll tell you, I don't. If anyone can tell you that they can explain to you the mystery of why God came down and rescued us, they're lying. It's not true. You can't explain it. Some things are too wonderful to understand, too powerful to comprehend, extend infinitely in both directions. There's no way we can grasp this concept. But Jesus came down, burnt that place for us. And then if that wasn't enough, you want to talk about the divine weapon that's being talked about here? We're talking about Jesus. And he's going to kick in that gate. He's going to kick in that gate that you've been trapped in, that's been separating you from the fellowship you deserve, from the relationship with the pastor that you need, from the defenses that you have. He's going to kick in that gate. He's going to take you by the hand. He's going to pull you to that place. And he's going to stand there with you. And even if you see fire around you, you will not be burnt there. It's already been burnt. And that's the truth. And then you think, well, what's the application of this? You go, maybe you don't have any strongholds in your life right now. Maybe one of your kids do. Maybe you don't have strongholds in your life right now. Maybe your parents do. Maybe you've already been standing in this spot. We need to help other people get here. There's room. There's room in the place where there's room at the cross. Because when Jesus made that sacrifice, it wasn't once. It was once and for all. For all time. Once it's been burnt, it can't be burned again. There's room. And we need to recognize these signs and people that we can help who've been trapped in these fortresses of lies and bring them to the truth. I'd like to close there. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to open up the altars. If there's been a stronghold set up in your life, let's conquer it today. If you've been standing in your circumstances, I pray that it ends today. We're gonna conquer that today. I'd like everyone to bow their heads. Thank you, God, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made for us. Thank you that you gave us victory. Thank you that we're not fighting this battle here on earth for victory, that we're fighting from victory, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that truth. If you've been hearing this sermon and you feel touched, or if you heard the sermon and you know you can help somebody, I'd encourage you to come down to the altar. So I think today is a day of victory. You don't have to live in your circumstance any longer. You don't have to live trapped in this fortress of lies. You can live in the grace of God. You can live where Jesus took the burden of our sin, took what we deserve, took the wrath of God on our behalf, and created that place that we can stand and stand firm then. And maybe you're hearing this and you're thinking, I haven't even accepted Jesus in my heart for the first time. And there's already fortress building up that are going to keep him out. I can already feel, I hear you, I hear what you're saying, Chris, but listen, these walls are too high. I've been in them too long. I don't even know what I believe. Well, I want to encourage you. Take that step in faith. We worship a living God who is here among us. And if you feel him, you know it's time. You know the fruits of these fortresses that are building up. It's time for them to go. And we know that weapons of the world are not going to be victorious against them. If you've been feeling like you've been battling against people, if it's just one problem after another, I encourage you, you can have victory today. And that's the truth. Because you can have victory through Jesus Christ. And it's a great mystery why God loves us so much. And I know that these walls are towering high and you feel trapped in it. but we know the gates of hell won't prevail. And if you need someone to kick in those gates, Jesus says, we're coming for you. And his hands and feet, which is his church, we're coming for you. We're here for you, and we want to pull you out of that. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you that you made a way. Thank you that there's a place that we can stand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.